Good morning and welcome to worship on this Sunday, May 2nd. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my joy to welcome you to Westwood Church in Los Angeles. We, as a congregation, celebrate the diversity of our community and the diversity that exists in the body of Christ, and we believe that the rich diversity of age and race, of gender identity and sexual orientation is a gift to the church. I hope that you know you are welcome, whoever you are and wherever you are. Whatever point you are in your journey of faith, we give thanks that you've joined us for worship today. And I hope you will participate as much as you're able. There's a worship guide that you can download, pull up on a device or print out that will give you words and music to share in our worship. And whether that's live or later, I hope you will tune your heart into ours as we share in this time of connection to God together. On this first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion, and you are invited to share with us in this sacrament. I hope that you will use bread from where you are and juice or wine or other drink so that we can share together in this gift of the Holy Spirit as we come to Christ's table. Now, as we enter into worship, I invite you to join us in song. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Morning Prayer by Kimberly Bracken Long. Wondrous vine grower, you make all things new in water and word, feeding your people with love, joy, and peace. Lead us today and every day to the fount of new beginnings. Teach us to love what you have commanded and to prune what does not nourish your creation. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Whom thou forevermore doth join. reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today comes from John in chapter 15, as Jesus prepares to say final words to his disciples before his arrest. He offers them this beautiful metaphor that describes life together in him. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken in you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I abide in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. One of the gifts of our scripture is its metaphors, the words and images it uses to describe God, to help us comprehend and make sense of, believe and know who God is. The metaphors all describe the God of all creation, but in a scale, in context that has relevance for our lives today. Jesus so often uses agricultural images to describe who God is and our relationship to God. And this morning's text from the Gospel of John goes in deep with this metaphor of vines and branches. I've always fancied myself a bit of a gardener farmer. As a kid, our family always had a big old coffee can full of seed packets. And the whole back of our yard had the last, 10 feet of our rectangular yard had been turned over and was a place where we could plant vegetables in the summer. My Uncle Charlie has a brother who owned a hardware store, and often we would get the seed packets left over from any given year, hand-me-down seeds that were just piles full of possibility. There was enough space and ample seed, so as a kid, I was given liberty, freedom to plant what I could and what I could grow. But when I moved to California as a young adult, I discovered a whole new set of possibilities of things that could grow. When Matt and I bought a little house in a neighborhood of San Diego called City Heights with a yard where things could be grown, I delighted in planting all sorts of things. I discovered you can grow bananas in your backyard. All this is very novel for a girl who grew up in Nebraska and a source of great delight. I leaned into this beautiful image that comes from the Hebrew prophets, an image of God's promise, God's desire for security and life for humans, that's pictured as everyone having their own vine and fig tree under which they can dwell and not be afraid. The verse can be found in Micah chapter 4, coming just after the elegant verse about transforming weaponry into farming implements, as the prophet imagines beating swords into plowshares. So I planted my little backyard with banana trees and a fig tree and a vine. I've never been a grape grower. I decided to go in for passion fruit. And so I planted a passion fruit vine in my backyard. I was entranced with the wild beauty of a passion fruit blossom that seems surreal in its mysterious and beautiful particularity. And it bore fruit, passion fruit, which I've learned how to turn into jam and sauce and all kinds of things until I was tired of passion fruit. But I discovered as you grow passion fruit, as it covered the whole of my fence, that pruning became an important responsibility. I discovered pruning in its complexity, the necessity of tending the vine so that it will grow more next year, so that it will bear fruit that's accessible. I discovered how it all works. And so it's a delight now, with my experience as a vine grower, to contemplate the meaning and implication of this Sunday's text. In the Gospel of John, these many chapters prepare the disciples for Jesus' coming, arrest and death and resurrection. There are long chapters full of Jesus teaching and preparing, giving the disciples the images and tools they'll need to continue to be the disciples or the apostles or the church that Christ is calling into being. So he offers this image of vine growing and vine tending to help us understand that we exist not as independent and separate people, but as part of one body, one life with integrity. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. When you look at the branch of a vine, you say that it is the vine, but it's not the whole of the vine. If one branch is lost, it doesn't destroy the whole of the life. If one branch fails to bear fruit, it doesn't compromise the whole. And all these are lessons that I need to hear. Because there are times when it feels like the weight of responsibility of Christian discipleship, the high bar that Christ sets before us, is a weight that stands on our shoulders alone. This image gives us freedom from that because we know how vines work, how they can be pruned, and how they regrow. And yet we also know that those branches have life only because of their connection to the whole system, to the roots that sink into the ground, to the system of nourishment of soil and light and water that makes growth possible. As people who imagine ourselves as branches in the vine that is Christ Jesus, we begin to understand a little bit about how we see ourselves. This image pushes back against the ways we usually define ourselves over and against others as individuals. It pushes back against our culture's way of defining a person's worth based on their individual accomplishment. This scripture passage pushes back against any ideas that we might be self-made successes and reminds us that our life comes from our belonging in a source of life that is so much bigger than ourselves, that runs deeper and connects wider than we can ever imagine. The idea, the image of being branches in Christ's vine gives us a beautiful and nourishing way of acknowledging that we are who we are because of those who've gone before us, because of those who are around us, because of those who connect us to the source of all life. We then find relief because our belonging is given, it is essential because of how we define ourselves. And the branches that belong in the vine that is Christ, each one of them claims its power and its life because of that belonging. And each branch participates in the exchange of light and water and the nourishment coming from the soil. If we understand ourselves to be branches in Christ's vine, we dare to believe that our part is given because of the structure of the world, and that we have a thing to do to participate in the life that is not a complex achievement that doesn't require sophisticated understanding, but simply is because of who we are and how we belong. And it reminds us that our life is a part of an interdependent and interconnected whole, that our ability to do the things that matter, our ability to bear fruit, comes because we belong. I'm moved by this image because it also reminds us that our purpose is not merely growth, but is bearing fruit. Fruit which is nourishment, fruit that is good for you, that is good for the sustaining of all life. I don't know why it struck me with such power this week, but as I contemplated this image of vines and branches, I was overwhelmed with the sobering reminder that our purpose as a church is not merely to be and to thrive and to grow, but our purpose as people of faith, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, as the church, our purpose is to bear fruit for others. To bear fruit for the world around us, to bear fruit for those who are hurting and in need in the world around us. This past year has been one of isolation, where my daily round has reduced to mostly the people that I live with and the few interactions I have here in the office or as I go about necessary things. In the past weeks, now that my immunization has taken root, now that it's safer to move about the world, I've dared to expand my circle just a little. And it's a sobering reminder that we need connection to one another. In this season, as we begin to return to more of the things that we used to do, I find myself often drawn into a posture where I resent what I've lost and I'm hungry to have back what I deserve, what is flourishing of life. And this passage from the Gospel of John, this image that reminds me that I am a branch in the vine that is Jesus Christ and that my purpose is for bearing fruit, points me, saves me from my own self, and reminds me that my purpose here, that our purpose here, is living for the sake of others. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, left for us notes on the New Testament. They're not a systematic or eloquent theology. They weren't tidied up, but for each verse of the New Testament, he has a few lines, sentences, and thoughts to share. And in this passage, where Jesus shares the image of being vines and branches, he points our attention to the purpose of our belonging. He reminds us that we belong, that it may bear more fruit. For this is one of the noblest rewards God can bestow on former acts of obedience to make us yet more holy and fit for farther and more eminent service. In this passage, Jesus talks not only about bearing fruit, but about pruning. He talks about pruning as a cleansing or a preparation, a pruning that prepares for life and for growth. It's not, though our religious communities might sometimes seem to point in this direction, it's not a pruning that is an excommunication of some people from our communion, but a pruning that comes into each one of our lives and helps us have the courage to let go of the pieces of ourselves and our lives, of our motivations and hopes that are not bearing fruit for others. The pruning helps us reshape ourselves in the image of Christ's love and prepares us for greater fruitfulness, for life. It's good for you to be pruned. In all of these passages in the Gospel of John, as Jesus talks about you are the vine and you are the branches and I am the vine, the you that he uses is plural. And it's important to remember that as Jesus is offering this message to his disciples and to us some 2,000 years later, he's inviting us to know an identity that is not individual, but that is plural, that belongs to us all. It's not you alone, but you all, or all y'all. All of you who are the body of Christ, you are the branches, and I am the vine, and we have the power to bear great fruit. Our other scripture today from 1 John continues in this school of thought that belongs to John's gospel and the epistles of John. It's a community in the church that emphasizes over and over again the identity of God as being rooted and grounded in love. God is love, 1 John says, so clearly and over and over. This is what Wesley has to say about this verse, about verse 8 that we read. He says, "This little sentence brought St. John more sweetness, even in the time he was writing it, than the whole world can bring. God is often styled holy, righteous, wise, but not holiness, righteousness, or wisdom in the abstract, as he is said to be love. Imitating that this is his darling, his reigning attribute, the attribute that sheds an amiable glory on all his other perfections." Wesley points us to see God's identity as love, as surrounding and infusing and covering all of the other attributes of God with a quality of power, of life and vitality, of fruitfulness and goodness that refuses to be theoretical but demands to be real in this life. And so as we sing honoring God's holiness, as we come to the communion table and say words that affirm God's power, we do so knowing that this is a power that comes through love and that demands we be the people who belong in this love and who bear fruit, who offer love to all the world. Our purpose is to give of ourselves for others, to offer nourishment and life for the sake of the world. May it be so. Amen.
Yeah. Let us pray. We have come from different places with different prayers in our hearts and different challenges in our lives. We lift our collective prayers together as one voice, uniting us through your love and rooting us in your justice and compassion, calling us to grow and expand in your liberating grace and hope. You are the vine, we are the branches. May we bear the fruits of your love. We pray for an end to the violence perpetrated by harsh words, deadly weapons, and cold indifference. May our homes, our nations, and countries around the world become havens of peace. We pray for the grace to see every human being as a child of God, regardless of race, language, or culture. We pray for the wisdom to receive the stories and experiences of those different from ourselves and to respond with respect. We pray for the strength to teach our children how to resolve differences nonviolently and respectfully, and the courage to model it in our own behavior. We pray for healing and justice for all those who have experienced violence and racism. You are the vine. We are the branches. May we bear the fruits of compassion.
We pray for the protection of essential workers who risk their lives daily to ensure our safety, for access to healthcare, vaccines, and mass testing from India, Laos, and around the world where people die as hospitals overflow, for communities in Philippines facing the world's longest pandemic lockdown, while the government responds to skyrocketing COVID cases with militarization and human rights violations. For workers everywhere who face discriminatory practices and unsafe workplaces. For migrant domestic workers in Hong Kong, unable to go home for over a year, facing months of overwork, vulnerability, and further discrimination. For migrant seafarers stranded at sea on ships with no ability to step on land. For fair and just policies that will promote peace and well-being in our neighborhoods. For families who live in fear about whether their loved ones will come home or if the knock on the door brings news of their killings. For young people putting their lives on the line in Myanmar, peacefully protesting the military takeover of their government. For our public officials, that they will strive to work for fair education, just wages, adequate housing, and equal opportunities for employment for all. You are the vine. We are the branches. May we bear the fruits of justice.
We pray for our faith community, that we celebrate and welcome the diverse faces of Christ in our worship, our ministries, and our leaders, that we respond boldly to the Holy Spirit's call to act together to end violence and racism, that we cultivate, welcome, extend hospitality, and encourage the participation of people of all cultures, ethnicities, and backgrounds. For the courage to have difficult conversations about racism and for a better appreciation of how our words and actions or even our silence can impact our communities. For solidarity in our global human family, that we may work together to protect those who are most vulnerable and most in need. You are the vine, we are the branches. May we bear the fruits of liberation. Let us grow strong in Jesus and thrive. Let us be rooted in Jesus and flourish. Let us abide in Jesus and be blessed. We ask this in your name, God of all creation. Amen.
Amen.
In our worship, we're invited to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. This is Christ's table, and everyone is welcome. During this time of pandemic separation, we use elements gathered from our separate places, bread or bread product from our homes, and grape juice or wine or other drink from our kitchens. The table then becomes a table that connects together all our separate living spaces and all our community, reminding us that we belong in the one body of Christ. I invite you to find elements where you are. And I invite you to join me now in a prayer of confession as we prepare our hearts for the gift of this sacrament. Let us pray. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess to God and to one another our failure to love our neighbor. God of mercy, we confess that we have not borne the fruit of the Spirit. We have not loved others as you have loved us. We have denied the promises of baptism and cut ourselves off from you. Forgive us, restore us, that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You have already been cleansed by the word that God has spoken to you. In baptism, God claimed you and joined you to Christ as branches to a vine. Believe in the promise given to you. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Let us prepare our tables. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us open our hearts.
We open them to our God.
Let us give thanks to the Holy One, our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks, all-loving God, creator of energy and matter, heaven and earth. When there was nothing, you created all that is. In due time, you made for humans to evolve and gave us the power of language. When we felt the sting of the lash, you liberated us. When we were lost and our souls were faint, you led us home through prophets and apostles.
When the time was right, you sent your Son to embody your promise to save us. Therefore, we praise you, joining the everlasting chorus of the wind and the streams, the animals and the flowers, the living and the dead, the stars and the planets, and all the company of heaven.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of sovereignty and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We are grateful for Jesus the Christ, who teaches us and heals us and becomes the way for us, through his dying and his rising, that we may die through him and rise through him into a new heaven and a new earth.
We are grateful that on the night before he died, he took bread and after giving thanks for it, broke it and shared it with his companions, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you."
We are grateful that after the meal was ended, he took the cup and passed it to them and said, "Take this cup and drink from it, all of you, for this is the cup of the new covenant, my life poured out for you. Now, when you eat and drink of this, remember me." We remember Jesus as we share this meal, one in the Spirit.
God, bless these simple gifts of the earth, this bread and this cup, that they may become for us through the power of your Holy Spirit, Christ's presence with us, transforming us into the body of Christ in this world. May this meal inspire and strengthen us to love you, each other, and this world until Christ comes again and brings all things to their fulfillment. All honor and glory are yours, Holy One, through Christ in the Spirit, now and always. Amen.
Let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Even though we are many people in different physical places, we are one body in Christ and share in one common meal of grace. The bread that we share across physical distance is a sharing of the very body of Christ. This is the body of Christ given for you.
We share one cup, and it is a sign that we belong in the new covenant of Christ's love. This is the cup of salvation, shared freely. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope that you have felt God's presence with you where you are. And I hope that you'll continue to go deeper in your life of faith in connection to God and neighbor as we live out our love for the sake of the world. There are always ways to be connected to this congregation. The easiest way to keep up with what's going on is to read our weekly e-news, which comes out on Fridays. If you're not already on that list, or if you have a prayer concern to share or another question for us, I hope you'll go to westwoodumc.org/connect to share that with us. On our website, you can also find opportunities to give your tithes and offerings in support of our ministry, which makes not only the ministry in this place, but in our connection to the broader church possible. I encourage you to join us for our follow-up class this morning at 11 a.m. by Zoom. That link is in the e-news. Everyone is welcome in that class, which is really a conversation amongst the members of our body. I hope you know you are most welcome. Now, as we prepare to end our time together, I pray that you would know that you belong in the life of God, that you are a part of Christ's body as certainly as branches belong in a vine, and that that life is good for you, not for you alone, but for all of us together. May we all bear fruit that feeds the hunger of our broken world. Be in peace. Amen.